The wood sled has all but disappeared from the Iditarod Trail. Mushers now prefer to use sleds made from aluminum or composite materials, which are lighter and more flexible. But in the villages, locally made wood sleds are still common, and a few dedicated craftsmen still make them in the traditional style. Billy McCarty is one such craftsman. APRN Iditarod Trail reporter Tim Bodoni visited McCarty in his shop overlooking the Yukon River in Ruby.
Traditional sled building begins in the forest with the selection of the right tree. Billy McCarty has developed a keen eye for birch, the sled builder's wood of choice in the interior. It's a skill he learned from his father.
He would tell me what type of birch to pick, and in the flat areas out in the flat countries where it's swampy, a lot of sap to the birch and more flexibility. He'd always tell me that the hillside birch, he never used that. It's brittle. It dries, you never know when it's going to break, and it'll break like a frozen candy bar. And I learned that the hard way by trying it.
McCarty made his first sled in 1959. Since then, he estimates he's made about 100, including freight sleds, racing sleds, and children's sleds, two of which rest on workbenches in his small and tidy shop. The slats of clear-grained, yellowish-white birch that make up the sled are about half an inch thick, yet remarkably strong for their weight and size.
I could take a piece of that's dried like this piece here, and I couldn't break it over my knee. It's so strong after it's dry.
After it's cut and planed, the wood only needs 3 or 4 days to be dry and ready. The pieces that will become the handlebar, the runners, and the U-shaped front of the sled, referred to as the brush bow, all need to be bent. And that's done with steam, often turning McCarty's little log-sided shop into a riverfront sauna.
It gets hot and sweaty, and I gotta open the door, and then I get chilled, and especially in the wintertime. I'd rather bend all these in the spring when it's warm out than I can just do it outdoors.
The steam softens the wood, and then it's clamped into forms to set it into the necessary shapes. When it comes time for assembly, McCarty sweats the details, insisting on mortise and tenon joints instead of just slapping the pieces on top of each other and screwing them together. The finished product is designed to be sturdy in some areas and ready to twist in others, so that the driver can easily steer the sled. McCarty also gives the sled driver more control by making his sled slightly narrower in the front than the back. It's so subtle that it almost escapes notice, but McCarty insists that it makes a big difference in how the sled performs.
It'll stay right on the trail. You can sit in it, and then it'll just steer by itself. I've seen sleds that they didn't do that, the old-timers. Some of them didn't learn to do that. It was kind of out, you know. They just built it straight. They didn't draw this runner in. And I can see those sleds just, you know, falling off the trail. And I learned that by watching that.
Metal sleds might be lighter and more flexible, but they're not as easy to repair as wood sleds. If a piece happens to break, a new piece can be bolted on with common tools, even out on the trail. McCarty thinks of sled building as a hobby, even though he's sold dozens of sleds to mushers and visitors from the lower 48 over the years. He's also driven his own sleds to several victories in village dog races along the Keokuk and Yukon rivers. As for the future of sled building in the McCarty family, Billy has passed down the lessons that he learned from his own father about choosing the right wood. That's only the first step in continuing this tradition.
My grandkids and my sons help me. They go out and they can find the birch for me. They know what to look for, but they don't try building it yet. That's the part I'd like to see them do, you know, actually build them.
In Ruby, this is Tim Bodoni.